Witches by S.B. MacDonald. Read by Penny Scott Andrews. Thrills of excitement run through his body, leaving him weak and trembling. Tonight, the moon will be dark. Tonight, they will come. Darkness falls and he waits at his open window. Bats swoop in and out of the square of light. The night is silent and forbidding, like the start of a nightmare. Not even the screech of an owl to make it real. But somewhere in the woods they are gathering, he is sure of it. Midnight strikes, and with the last stroke, he knows because he counted, comes a high, keening shriek that pierces his skull with lancing pain. Blackness flows through his brain and he flounders, collapsing vacant and empty on the bed. Morning. Sunlight pouring through his window, his head aches. He stumbles upright, not quite sure how he managed to fall asleep in his clothes. The low morning sun beckons him outside. Suddenly, he remembers the dark of the moon. Draining a mug of strong coffee, he grabs his coat and his camera and runs outside, into the woods. Shaking with anticipation and caffeine, he follows the track through the uneven growth of birch and sycamore that fills this abandoned quarry complex. The path is uneven, littered with strange growths of rusty metal and piles of odd-coloured shale or rock. Fallen leaves cover holes deep enough to snap an ankle, and every now and then a length of hidden cable reaches for the sky, as if someone had sent power lines directly from the centre of the earth. It takes no more than half an hour to reach his destination. The sun is still low enough to send hazy beams through the trees, and this only accentuates how dim the light actually is. The sunbeams fall on a growth of young birch trees that create a natural circle. The centre of the circle is clear of undergrowth, or any growth at all, in fact, and beaten flat as if many feet have stood there. And on each tree is painted a symbol. He is so excited he could hug himself with delight. Automatically, he lifts his camera and fires off a few shots of the circle as a whole, and then some of the individual trees. The dark red symbols glow in the sunbeams as if they are burnished with gold. He steps forward into the centre of the trees. The day suddenly becomes darker, and a new breeze sends chilly fingers down the back of his neck. He gasps. In the centre of the circle, directly in front of his feet, are the remains of a fire, white ash and charcoaled wood, and one yellowed and blackened bone. He takes a step back. Each compass point of the circle is marked by a little heaped mound of earth, each large enough to conceal a shallow grave. He counts them, and counts again. There is one more than there was yesterday. He is sure of it. But the circle is not yet complete. He glances around the clearing. There are other changes. A scrap of stained cloth caught on the ragged bark of a tree. Something that might have been a handprint pressed into the earth near the fire. A little bundle of feathers tucked under a rock. And the inside of the circle is perfectly clean, apart from the dead fire. Not even a stray crisp packet or fallen leaf. He knew it. They came. The circle this morning is like the pictures he took last month and the month before. He knows it isn't just bored kids or someone sleeping rough. He knows it is witches. He takes a step towards the edge of the circle. The air there is heavy and dense as if rain is coming. His first thought is that he might see a rainbow. His second is that he's going to get wet. Huge, heavy drops of rain begin to fall through the trees. Each drop snaps on the dry leaves like a footstep. Spooked at first, he turns at every sound, but soon there are too many to follow, and he feels a bit stupid. Who could it be, anyway? Just some old duffer walking a dog? But deep inside, his instinct knows better, and that instinct is telling him to run. The raindrops are closer together now, and they hit the earth with a crack, 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 like a whip. Bravado straightens his shoulders, time to go home. He tries to move casually, as if someone is watching him, but the rain has made the earth slippery, and he is wary of falling out here in the woods. If he broke a leg, someone would eventually find him, but it just might not be today. Safer surely to stay in the circle until the rain stops. The leaves rustle, like laughter behind him. He spins again. Nothing. No one. Just being stupid. The raindrops are getting heavier. Each strike takes on a life of its own. It seems to his overwrought mind that they are surrounding him, holding him there in the circle with the bloody red symbols and the mound of fresh-turned earth. He closes his eyes, takes deep breaths. It's just the rain. Just the rain. Just the... His eyes fly open. A drop of rain so large he can follow its trajectory from the sky. It splashes at his feet. It glows with a fierce grey light and swells and grows, and then she is there, an image straight from the pages of his books at home, cloaked and gowned in grey, beautiful, glowing, no, blazing, with fierce pale fire. And cold fear runs down his back, pools in a sick knot in his stomach. He forces himself to turn away, to begin to run. More huge drops strike the earth, one for almost every tree in the circle, and each blossoms into a cloaked grey figure as terrible as the first, male and female both, surrounding him, laughing. The earth exhales a fine soft mist. The camera falls unheeded from his hand. It strikes the damp earth without a sound. Words form like numbing whispers in his head. Who dares? Who dares? Who dares? The desire to know is plucked from his mind, and suddenly he sees it all replayed like a film in the haze. The yellow blaze that lit the harsh faces of the witches, the chanting, the stately dance they wove through the trees, the shadows that moved in the blackness around them. The bound and bleeding child with shattered eyes, the initiate with her pale and resolute face kneeling before the dark priestess, her hand reaching out to make her choice, the flashing knives, the blood painted on their faces and on the trees, the chittering, swirling shades that licked the scarlet drops from their gory feet, the chanting that rose to a crescendo as the initiate sank into the ground and then rose again, cloaked in grey, her mortal remains buried in the earth below. The final keening scream as the dying child was tossed onto the fire, and then the choking, acrid smell of burning flesh and bone. Sickened, he gags on bitter coffee-flavoured bile. His legs want to fail, to let him sink to the earth and into insensibility. But he is gripped by the vision before him, and now she says, "Choose." In one hand she holds a grey cloak, and in the other a knife. The blade is blackened and sour with the blood of the sacrificed child. The coven draws suffocatingly close, tightening the circle around him. Grey cloaks merge with the soft mist into a barrier he cannot breach, and the chant fills his head like white noise. Choose, choose, choose. His breath comes short and fast, the sudden knowledge that they will decide if he does not, as the knife twitches impatiently towards his heart, an agonizingly long moment of wishing with all his heart that he had stayed in bed, and then he watches his hand creep out and his fingers touch the cloak. The rain stops. The earth is wet. The wood breathes out a fine mist that covers the soft-turned dirt of the new mound in the circle, the one that makes it complete. It is just a bunch of trees now, with some blurry paint on the bark and a pile of rags near the centre. Left by kids, maybe. Or someone sleeping rough. And a camera soaked through and ruined by the rain.